Why so serious?
All the toys, all the time.
I am the game, and still getting trying to play you.
You know the rules. This isn't a toy.
But we bought it at the toy store.
We did, but the way I'm using it makes it an adult thing.
Are you ready to play the game?
Yeah! Welcome to the Toy Department with Matt Kolsky and Derek Madden.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, it is Thursday Toy Department time. This is the challenge edition of the show. I'm Derek Madden. He's Matt Kolsky. How are you, sir?
I'm pretty good. Pretty good. Had a nice morning with my son. The two of us just ran around the tennis court at the park across the street. He ate a lot of dirt and watched some dogs at the dog park. And that was it.
How fast does he run at this point?
Oh, he's running. I mean, he's still a baby with tiny legs, but like he is distinctly running as opposed to walk. Like he walks and then he runs. There's two. He has two speeds.
Yes. Oh yeah. Okay. I got it. Is it kind of like a stumbly sort of run at this point?
Less and less stumbly every day. He has stopped falling on his face every time he runs. So
I'm imagining he looks like a tiny Josh when he runs.
Yeah, that's that's pretty close.
Okay. We've got a lot of challenge to cover from last night. Of course, I did want to mention. We talked about this during the week. And I don't know that we've mentioned it to anybody on the feed or anything yet, but Netflix dropped a couple old episodes of The Challenge.
Yep.
That we've been diving into. So you and I have been watching The Inferno.
I finished. I started watching The Duel now.
Okay, so you're ahead of me. So The Inferno and The Duel, is it The Duel or The Duel 2 that they put up? I don't remember.
I forget.
But it's two old seasons. The Inferno is from 2006. It's a treat. Even if you've seen it before, I think both of us have, right?
Yeah, definitely.
You probably don't remember a ton from it, and
it's special.
It's great. It's a special season, and it's just wild to see the difference in how they were making the show 15 years ago versus now. I mean, some of it's just the times, like It stunned me just just people wearing their own clothes and not the sponsored Under Armour gear that they wear now.
I mean, look, just overall, how much bigger and better the production has gotten is remarkable. Now it is 15 years, but still.
It's incredible. So like they've clearly gotten a lot better at figuring out just how to make the show, from an editing and a graphic standpoint to a shooting standpoint. And I think maybe that's a good place to start, right? Like when you look at the kinds of challenges that they were doing in Inferno, where they're like basically on a lawn and doing like the, running around and like don't drop the egg kind of, you know what I mean?
Squeeze a grapefruit into a cup.
To this week's show where they're on a giant moving, they're doing wrestling unharnessed on a giant moving truck that's driving across black sand while pyrotechnics blast off every like 50 yards.
And two people went to the hospital.
It's just a whole other world. So I definitely recommend going back and checking out some of the old shows. They're only 25 minutes long.
They blast by. Did you get to the episode I mentioned? Did you get to episode 11?
I have not. I'm still only a few in, but I'm going to do another dive.
Well, if you just want to see one
out the rest of the season.
Yeah. If someone just wants to watch one incredible 20-minute episode of The Challenge, episode 11 of The Inferno on Netflix is amazing.
Yep. There are a couple players who are still in the game, I believe, in that season, but mostly it's going to be people you're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And if you recall, we did on a previous podcast have the who is the most successful person to ever be on The Challenge.
Right.
debate. And I think that three of the best candidates are on this season.
Okay,
right?
So I know two of them because you got The Miz, who is in full Mike The Miz form at this
point. Yeah, just doing wrestling promos.
He's just cutting promos every time he's on camera. And then there's Jamie Chung, who obviously has had success as an actress. Who's the third?
I'm going to throw Karamo in that mix.
Oh, of course.
From Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, who I completely forgot had been off the Real World.
So did
and
I.
Competed in this challenge.
So did I. But then also, have you gotten to the episode where he's eliminated?
I have not.
Okay. Well, this is, you know, you've seen it already, so I'm going to spoil this for you slightly. But he gets eliminated in part because he refuses to do a challenge and sort of gets himself thrown in. Like, he refuses to participate. And in the – they don't have reunions yet at this point, but they have the, like, crap they didn't show on television episode.
Yes.
And it turns out Karamo had a speaking engagement. And so he deliberately eliminated himself so he could do his speaking engagement because he had, like, a contract signed.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So the opposite
I'm
team
sure.
is like, what his team didn't know is he sat out that challenge because we told him if he wanted us to put him in, he couldn't win the life shield. So he sat it out because he had to get home for a speaking engagement.
That is great. I'm sure there's more of that than we know in challenge history.
100%.
Although probably less so now because these guys are obviously – they put them places where just, you know, just going home is not – it's not a very easy option typically, right? And this
right.
is all they do. So,
and they're – yeah, they're paid a lot more now too, I'm sure.
Yes. Although, it, you know, in Inferno, like, they're hitting the prize money thing pretty hard, I noticed.
Yeah, yeah, but I bet the appearance fees are not nearly as good.
Almost certainly. There's clearly less money in the budget of the show overall.
Oh, my
just
God.
Just looking at it.
It's just 100%. Totally different. And Dave right. Mira is no TJ. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, that's the other thing we didn't mention. It's pre-TJ. You can believe that. So.
There's one of each. One of the seasons they put on Netflix is pre-TJ. The second one, I believe, is TJ's first season. And he still introduces himself as, I'm TJ Lavin, pro BMX dirt jumper or whatever the hell he says.
All right, let's jump ahead to this season and this particular episode because TJ, not only is he not having to explain who he is anymore, have you noticed that his entrances are getting more and more elaborate?
They are. He makes action movie entrances in every single episode. Have you noticed that they put TJ Lavin, like his name comes up, you know, like they often put someone's name up when they appear on screen for the first time in an episode. They put his name up and underneath it, it says Handler.
It does? Oh,
yeah.
Right. Because he's supposed to be like the Q.
Yeah,
of,
exactly. He's like the CIA guy who's handling the spies.
That's great. You know, I will say as this game is going on that the whole double agents thing is working for me more and more.
Agreed.
The scene in which, and I'm fast forwarding way ahead in the episode, I guess. Which I'm presuming you've all seen, so I don't think it's a big deal. But when Casey and Leroy are in the chamber together,
yes,
and they are talking to each other, but also holding a ton back, and like everything they say to each other kind of has these like glances and subtext. Like, is that not what it would be when like two spies from different countries are talking to each other and like trying, they have to work together in this situation, but they're trying not to give away too much.
I had the exact same thought.
Exactly like that. You know
what
I mean?
Like it felt like a scene from a spy movie where two spies who aren't sure if they can trust each other are like having a conversation. And then they cut to Casey's individual and she was like, I'm not going to tell him anything I don't have to tell him. I'm definitely holding stuff back for my partner. And then Leroy's yeah. like, I think she might be holding stuff back from me.
Yeah, it's real clear. Everybody understands what's happening. And yes, I really feel like there really is a double agent's vibe. And you're starting to get the contestants like just talking about like how much lying is going on in this yeah. game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it is weird, right? Because everyone now has to have these bad faith when you're getting called out or when you're justifying sending someone in, right? Everyone's like, you lied to me. It's like, yeah, that's kind of what the game is. Like, we're playing the game.
To some extent, that's what the game has always been, but it does seem like the deceit has been ratcheted way up for this season.
Yeah, I'm here for it. And I'm here for more team switching as well.
Yes.
Which it seems like I think we're going to get plenty of, and I think we'll get into you a little bit more about whether people are making the right decisions further in on down the line.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't even know. Where do you want to start with this episode?
You want to go with our burn of the week?
Sure. What is your, give me your burn of the week.
Okay. I think it's important to qualify. This should not be a good burn, but I am rating the burn on its effect. Okay? This is a results-based business, as far as I'm concerned. And somehow, simply by saying Big Brother sucks, Devin caused an eruption in Mount Josh, and it was spectacular. I've never seen someone get so upset over such a stupid thing. And that's literally what Devin is saying. He's like, this is the dumbest thing ever. But he just keeps, Big Brother sucks, man. And Josh is like, how are you saying Big Brother sucks? And just loses his effing mind. It was peak Josh and peak Devin. And as we're sitting there, there's an ITM, right? Where am I saying that right? Is it ITM?
Yes.
Where yeah. Devin says, you know, I know how to press Josh's buttons. But then he also says, last time I was here, I embarrassed myself. And my wife, Joey, was like, what's he talking about? And I was like, I think he's talking about when he did exactly this until Johnny Bananas said something nasty about his dead father. Right?
Oh, I thought he just I thought he was talking about doing poorly in the elimination last time.
Oh, maybe, but
I couldn't really recall about how he got eliminated. I feel like he referenced that later on in the show.
But didn't he get thrown out over that? Like, didn't he take a swing at Bananas or something?
Oh God, maybe he did.
I thought that maybe was what he was talking about. And this is the exact scenario that he chased a guy around a house being obnoxious until the guy lost his temper. Only he didn't have to do much with Josh. He just had to say Big Brother sucks, which is hilarious to me. So that's my burn of the week.
I went to college with a dude like this, and I feel like you probably know a dude that also has this characteristic. A guy, like, his name is Lee. Funniest dude, really fun dude to be around. But when he started being overserved, that sharp sense of humor that was super fun with Sober Lee
gets mean.
Turned into mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Lee wound up in like a lot of fights and he was not a big dude because he would get drunk and push somebody's button and that person would explode.
And then it's like, what, me? What'd I do?
Exactly. And Devin is exactly that dude. He knew exactly what he was doing.
Yep.
He knew exactly whose button to push and how to push it.
Yep.
And he did.
Yeah. And the way CT got involved and then Big T was like, no, that's not how we're going to behave in this house. And he was like, yeah, you're right. What am I doing? Why am I talking to Josh anyway?
Yes. So I want to throw out, I think for my burn of the week, I kind of have two. The first one I'm not going to count because it's really it's a self burn, right?
Okay.
You can't really burn yourself. But Leroy, had the self burn of the week when he said, at justifying his kind of ruthless decision making here as one of the double agents, I wanted to break the curse of how I am.
That's right.
That is.
And deep, he literally
and
meant.
That is a self-burn.
He literally meant, I'm too nice to people. Yeah, he was like,
you know what I mean?
I'm trying to be more of a dickhead this year.
like I have been acting like a loser, and I'm going to change that. So that's my self-burn of the week. But I'm going to give the burn of the week straight off the top of the show to my man CT, who just walked into a situation where they were talking about Joseph, and he just goes, yeah, but at the same time, the kid showed up with no pants and was eating mustard.
Yep.
And he just walks right out.
Yeah, he stuck his head in the door, and he was like, yeah, but he showed up with no pants eating mustard. And everyone started laughing, and he just popped right back out. It was an excellent, excellent move.
I think that, and this is, I think, probably scholars really need to debate this, but I think that CT may, in fact, be the ITM GOAT. Right? Like, if Kyle is like Mike Trout
right.
of ITMs, CT is like Willie Mays.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He probably has to be Babe Ruth because he was on the show before it was integrated. But yeah.
That's a great point.
No, I mean, and the whole thing, he and Big T's like teammate love affair is just wonderful to watch.
Yeah, it
that's
really is.
In fact, talking about production value, that scene where they're giving each other nicknames, and he's like, I think you got to be the eagle. And then there's like, suddenly on the screen, there's an eagle, and it's like, ca-ca! And then there's like, Big T is in the eye of the eagle. I, you know, having just watched some Inferno episodes, I was like, man, they've come a long way. That's tremendous stuff.
They sure have. And like the, you know, the whole Honey Buddy thing that they did right after that.
Yep.
So great. And like, there's a moment, right, where the two of them are doing one of those on-site ITMs
yes.
after the challenge. And
yeah.
Big T was like, I've never been in a fight. And CT goes, I wish I could say the same.
Yeah.
And then gives the camera like a look that is worthy of The Rock.
Yes.
To the point where they had to zoom in on him.
It was
and
incredible.
Some sound effects. Like, he's just the best. He's the GOAT, man.
He really
he's
is the GOAT.
He's so good at this.
He's
you know?
Really the GOAT. There's no question about it. And like, when you think about it, CT is a much bigger threat than Wes. Right?
Oh, yeah.
And yet, here everyone comes in and just starts gunning for Wes as a former champion, and CT's just quietly hanging out under the radar. You know, we switched a partner here. No big deal. Everything's cool. He's really, really good at this.
Yeah. And honestly, he and Wes, for the last couple of these episodes, have really been trying to play the same game of, you know, saying, look, I know you guys came in here gunning for all the people that have won before, but we're not threats. And you're going to be better off working with us than against us. Now,
right.
Wes is doing that in a totally unsubtle way, like literally just saying all those quiet parts out loud. And
that's right.
And I think that's the difference, right?
That's the difference. So, Wes let the frustration, you can tell he's incredibly frustrated that for like five or six seasons he steps on the show and everyone's gunning for him immediately, like it's wearing
yeah.
on him. And
yes.
CT, it doesn't bother him at all. It really
so,
doesn't.
So, I was reading some of Wes's like post game interviews,
yeah.
And he had a theory that in some of the years past, coming on the show, people were not gunning for him because they're like, oh, he and Bananas are just going to try to kill each other. And we can just stay out of the way
That's
and let that happen.
Yeah.
And he's like, coming on this show, you know, the last show where they were sort of working together, and then this show where he's not here, he didn't have that. And so it sort of made him a target in a way.
Yeah, that makes sense, actually. That makes sense.
Yeah, which I thought was insightful, which is, I guess, really what Wes brings to the table.
Yeah, I also think CT just has this, like, he's the uncle of the challenge thing going on, where people strangely have forgotten that he's a savage beast and he's probably going to beat them. And also, I think there's that. There's the exact opposite as well, which is just the prospect of taking on CT in an elimination is much scarier than Wes, even if Wes is really good at this.
And if anybody needed any reminders, the challenge in this episode, I think, provided that for people because the, you know, him going toe to toe with Fessy, to me
that
was a bit of a statement. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Like,
yeah, because he's probably 15 years older than him.
Yeah, and smaller.
Yeah.
He wasn't going to win that battle. It didn't look like he was at the point where he was real close to winning that battle.
No, but it was a stalemate.
Yeah, you know?
Neither of them got a real edge in that. Yeah, CT is 40 years old, and Fessy is... Man, what a name. Faisal Shafat. It's much harder to find his age for some reason.
There's
he's
no
29,
way.
He's 29, so it's 11 years.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot. And those are, 29 to 40, as someone who is near the end of that trip right now, those are rough years for the body. And CT clearly got back in shape this year, and which means, though, he probably weighs less than Fessy at this point, and he really battled him into a standstill, which, you know, he's built for this game. Like, Fessy is a better, bigger athlete overall, but CT, his body is, like, he's just, everything about him is meant for the challenge.
Yes, I would agree. And, you know, he's been doing it so long that his mind is sort of meant for the challenge, too. Although, I do think, and he, you know, he obviously mentioned it when they got paired up, I do think that Big T is going to benefit his political game.
No doubt. No doubt. Because honestly, the only time CT's political game slips is when he loses his temper or he like gets too involved in something. And Big T's going to be there to be like, chill, big fella.
Yeah. And like for having been paired up like 20 minutes ago, like the immediate calming effect that she had on him.
Yeah.
I thought it was kind of noteworthy. You
agreed.
Know what I mean?
Agreed. I think that's a dangerous team. And look, Big T, she battled, man, for her first ever physical confrontation.
Oh, okay. You know what? No, she didn't. she tried.
Yeah.
You know what
that's
I mean?
That's what I mean.
Like, she tried
she's got
to win.
Hard.
I would not say that she put up much of a fight.
Well, she's the. I mean, it was Anissa, right? Like, come on.
Yes, but you know, look at Darrell and Leo. Now, obviously, Leo is well trained in what he's doing.
He was he was putting legitimate wrestling moves in there.
Sure was. He sure was. And like, good for him. He's like, look, I'm much smaller than you, and I may not throw you off this platform, but he's like, there is no way.
Yeah. No.
I'm losing a wrestling challenge to you.
Yeah, but, for sure.
You know, without forgetting, putting aside some of the more advanced techniques that he was clearly using with like rolls and holding and stuff, he showed you what you do, right? When you're an undersized person, which is get real low.
Get down.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And, you know, stay underneath them, mess with their center of gravity. And it's going to be hard for them to throw you off. Like, they're literally going to have to pick you up in the air and move you off.
Yep.
What did you think of this challenge as a whole?
I thought it was excellent. I mean, this was about as good as it gets. A physical wrestling match on a moving truck. Like, I was fully into it. I loved that Wes literally dragged his foot on the platform. Like, that was a classic Wes move. He lost the wrestling match. And after, in the ITM, he was like, he cared about throwing me. I cared about winning the game. And he's right. That's how he did it.
Yep. To the point where Josh had no idea.
No idea.
No idea after they lost.
None. Yeah. And also, we have to talk about Nicole. Like, this little woman had her shoulder pop out of the socket and was like, guys, my shoulder. I think something's wrong. Like, and it was just sitting dislocated, and she's going, hey, could I get checked out? Like, no screams, no tears. I would have been a puddle, okay, if my shoulder was hanging out like that. And she just I had trouble reconciling the image of her shoulder sitting out of the socket with her demeanor.
We will talk MVP at some point, but I can tell you that my LVP for this episode is the editor that said, yeah, let's get the shot where we just zoom in on our arm hanging out of her shoulder.
Oh, I mean, it was nasty. Someone was like, you could see a bone poking
through
here. Yeah,
and you sure could.
Yep.
And I am just fine with that person telling me that.
Like, exactly.
I do not need to witness it.
And this is sort of my point. You and I had more trouble seeing it than Nicole seemed to have experiencing it, which is remarkable.
Do you have any issues with Cam continuing to go at her after the shoulder was hurt?
Not really, because Nicole was like, all right, I'll do it one-armed.
No, she definitely said stop. Right?
Well, and like, she stopped for a second, but like
for a second, and then she just kept right going again.
I know, but the thing, that's tough. I mean, I see what you're saying.
She said stop my shoulder, and then Cam just kind of came at her again. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
I'm not necessarily saying like, oh, Cam was being dirty, because she definitely was just trying to compete. I don't think she was
right
intentionally, but. At the same time, like it was to me, it seemed a little bit beyond the bounds when a player is.
I just don't
physically
know if,
injured like that.
I don't know if Cam realized how bad it was because Nicole's kind of tilting that shoulder away from her and not exactly not reacting like someone with a dislocated shoulder. You know what I'm saying? Like she was like, "My arm hurts," but like in a calm voice, and she was like. There was nobody up there to be like, hold on, she's hurt. You know what I'm saying? So it was a weird situation. Yeah. I get your point, but I don't know that I would have stopped either.
I love the design of this challenge. I was really excited about it. It's in my notes. I'm like, oh my God, they're basically doing Royal Rumble on a moving truck.
Yes.
Like, this is a fucking great challenge. But I have to say, the number of people who seemed to be injured severely in it really took my enjoyment of the actual execution down a notch.
Yeah, they're not doing that one again like that. That's for sure.
For sure. You got to have a medic, and I think there needs to be the landing situation.
Yeah, the landing situation needs to be better, and there needs to be a referee on the platform to stop the fight if necessary.
Yeah, 100%. Because we can't be sending three people home from a challenge. Which, yeah, obviously we only wind up being one, but it seems it could have been three at some
definitely
point. You know what I mean?
It did.
So,
So
great design. Let's clean it up a little bit because it's like any sport. You don't want people getting hurt. You know
totally
what I mean?
And really, no surprise that that Leroy and Casey won this. They were sort of one of the teams best suited to do so. I thought.
Yeah, although I have to say, like, if I'm betting before, I would have picked Lolo and Nam, I think, to win this challenge.
Yeah, and they nearly did.
Lolo tossing Teresa off the bat was like, if they put that on House of Highlights, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, man. Lolo's a problem, dude. She is strong and tall and more athletic than probably anyone of the women or men on this show. She's, I don't know how you get rid of her.
Like people are not approaching that team as a threat in this game. And I don't fully understand it. I would be making it a priority to break them up at some point.
Okay. Or are they scared? Because honestly, as much of a lion ass game as this is, it's been a really scared game. And that's if we're going to do LVP, I love Leroy, man, but you got to go in. You have to go in. You can't drag Devin. Like, it's again, you look down there, it's physical. Look at the platform. There's nobody you'd rather face but Devin. In fact, you're going to be going after Devin again now that he has a gold skull. So why not go in? I don't, especially when the alternative is to put in Wes, who, like, even if you were going to screw him eventually, he was going to be your ally for the time being.
Right. And everyone's going to be coming at him anyway. So, like, if you're like, I can't trust this guy and I want him gone.
Right. You don't have to take him out. Everyone wants to take him out. But you had a chance to go in and qualify for the final, and we don't know how many chances you're going to have. Like, I think maybe people are assuming that, like last year, you know, they're going to give out the 10 gold skulls, and then you're going to have six more eliminations to try to take them from somebody, and there's plenty of time. But I don't know if I would trust that.
I don't know if I would trust that either. I also think that if you are making, you know, if Leroy is truly your LVP, and I'm still voting for the editing guy, that I think you have to make Cam co-LVP, right? Because I don't think this was a Leroy decision.
No, why did she talk him out of it? I totally agree. It's the both. In fact, it might be her more than him, because he is when it comes to decision making, he's obviously just listening to Cam. Which, look, broadly speaking,
Cam has been very upfront that if you're in a partnership with me, and I know she was talking about the game, but I'm pretty sure this applies to their relationship.
100%. Get in line.
That you are going to listen to me.
That's right. Cam. I'm the captain. That's how she operates, and that's fine because she's pretty good at this. But I do not understand.
I respect it.
Yeah, I don't understand this decision though. I don't understand. She even said, you know, now is not the time for Leroy to go in, and I'm thinking, but why? Devin's the weakest guy. Just physically, he's the smallest dude. He's your best shot. I mean, I don't think you want to try to like, Leo is not a guy I'd want to try to drag through the dirt. Devin is.
Yes, I agree.
I think Wes would have beat him if he wanted to.
And Leroy, I think, correctly identified this as, like, I got a lot to think about. This is an important point in the game for me. And I think he chose wrong. And here's the thing I think that is becoming apparent to me, that unless you're in this alliance, that the other players who are not on Team Big Brother need to be coming at Team Big Brother in the way that they came on the show thinking we're going to get rid of the champions.
Yep.
I think the road to winning this season goes through that team, right? Like, you've got to get them out of the game.
Which is why I also think, although, spoiler alert, he's going to be my MVP of the show for both the incredible antagonism of Josh and winning a challenge, an elimination. I think Devin chose wrong as well. I mean, look, Tori's a good partner, okay? Tori, so that's not a bad decision. But if you were going to infiltrate, why wouldn't you infiltrate the Big Brother coalition?
Well, okay. So I'll give you a defense of Devin. Because at first, I didn't get Devin's choice either. But I'm thinking about it. One, infiltrating, right? Partnering up with one of the Big Brother team, right, as we've seen, doesn't guarantee you all that much, right? You're getting eliminated one-on-one.
Yeah.
And they're pretty openly kind of like not really looking
out for you or giving you information
or telling you much.
They're not being great partners.
Yeah, so I don't know how much you're going to get from just sort of riding along with them, which kind of goes back to what the strategy I was talking about, the other thing. The other thing is that I think – I didn't understand why Devin took Tori of all the non-Big Brother people. But I think the reason is that he just picked a fight with her.
Right.
They have a lot of history. And he knew that she was going to be one of those people trying to get him out of the game. So I think he thought by pairing up with her, that would make it more complicated for her and take one of those people off the table. That may be true.
And certainly he wanted to, he's not friends with Corey right now. That's for sure. So I think he wanted to mess with Corey. The problem is he gave Corey an even potentially better physical competitor.
Right. Because it's like, he could partner with like Cam, for example, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Kyle's partner with Cam. Kyle's one of his few friends in the game.
Yeah, he doesn't want to do that, right?
And Kyle and Cam are already going to be one of the few teams protecting him, right? So he needs to build as many friends as possible and make as few enemies as possible to stay in the game, right? So
I guess that's true.
Yeah. No, look, he could have gone with, like, Lolo. I think that would have been a smart play.
Or he could have stayed with Natalie. You know, if he wanted to go with one of the rookies who's really strong, that could have worked. I also think, like, taking...
But staying with Natalie just makes you Wes, doesn't it?
I guess. I think he's Wes anyway, because, as you say, they're individual eliminations. But we'll see. It'll be interesting.
His future in the game is going to be interesting. I felt like a tough episode for MVP. But I'm gonna roll with Devin as well, just because I think he really did stir the pot a little bit.
He stirred the pot, and look, even if I don't feel like Wes's heart was in it, like, I buy that, and he just didn't look like he wanted it as much, frankly. That's still a hell of an elimination win, man. Wes is a big guy, and he is in good shape.
Yeah. How much did you buy his, I didn't really want this. It was too hard going up against my friend, and I'm demoralized kind of shtick.
I don't know if it was as much about his friend as it was about being the bullseye from Jump Street, but he definitely seemed demoralized to me. Like, I bought the demoralization, and that speech he gave, which was mostly bullshit, like, that was a man who's very frustrated.
Yeah. I don't know that it was. I mean, like,
look, he has lied. He's lied plenty. Like, he's not wrong that he has been a better Alliance member and teammate than people are being on this year. But that's kind of just the nature of the game. And to suggest he never had to lie to win a challenge is completely absurd.
I see, but I think his point is not that he doesn't screw people. It's that he only screws his enemies. That's his point. Right? Like, that if you're with him, he doesn't betray you.
Yeah.
And that rings more true to me than...
No, I agree.
You know,
so maybe it was...
lied to win a challenge.
It was half bullshit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there was some sincerity there, and I understand where he's coming from. Like, that makes sense. But also, this is a game of lies. Get over it.
It sure is. But I do think that if you're Corey... You know, you learned a lesson today that goes back to the strategy that I think the teams need to be employing, which is that when you're sidling up to Big Brother and you're not really a part of Big Brother, I do think that Jay, being a Survivor guy, has sort of managed to get his way into this Big Brother clique.
Yeah, he really insinuated himself into Big Brother to the point where I was like, was he on Big Brother?
Yeah, it's like CBS Family for life, it seems like, except
I guess
unless you're Natalie.
Yeah, poor Natalie.
But if you're not in that core group, like,
yeah,
you're not getting all the info, and they have zero compunction about putting you in a bad spot, which is exactly what happened to him. And I think he needs to understand that, like, they're not with him, and that, you know, sorry to jump out of the toy department for a little bit, but it's a little bit like sidling up to Trump, right? You know what I mean? Like, you may see some benefits for you, but there's a long history of people who sort of wind up getting burned by that. So
yeah, the minute the benefits to you become anything other than benefits to them, it's over.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, no, I think Corey actually may have learned that, because he sort of said that in the ITMs. I don't think Nelson learned anything.
Yeah, and I think there's no real disadvantage to being a target of theirs, because they're gonna target you anyway.
That's right. They're gonna target everybody who's not Big Brother. Really, that's where, like, CT needs to swoop in and be like, listen, if we don't all want to lose to Big Brother, it's time to cuddle up here.
Right, and it's like, every time, if I were them, I'd be like, look, every time they're not one of the double agents. Which unfortunately has been zero times to this point.
That's right, yeah.
Then we have to put in a strong player. We have to send one of them in and put a strong player in against them.
Yeah, I mean, look, if I was CT, I would be huddled up with Lolo and Nam right now, being like, listen, one of our teams can win this challenge and be the double agents. Let's work together.
Yeah, and it's like, and you say, like, look, you know, so if you go in, It's not, we're not trying to screw you. This is not about getting you out of the game. It's about getting them out of the game. You know, we want you to come back with a gold skull. And then once they're out, you know what I mean? Then we can figure out what we're going to do.
Yeah. And listen, they can get Nam and Lolo. They can get Corey and Natalie. They can get Devin and Tori. That's a strong alliance if they can put it together.
Yeah. Like, there's still more non Big Brother people on this show by a good bit.
But none of them are organized.
That will not stay the case forever if they do not get organized.
Yep.
And, you know, so look, there's always a point in this game where the numbers can flip. And I think we are fast approaching it. And if they don't see it, I think it may wind up being too late.
I totally agree.
You know, so so control of the game, I think, is fairly obvious. If I'm saying it, it's in one person's hands right now, it's Casey. She seems to be the mastermind here.
Yeah.
And I think Fessy proved that with some pretty clumsy political game playing this episode.
Do we even call it political gameplay when you just stare blankly at people as they read you the riot act?
Yeah. And give out information that really you kind of had privileged.
Yeah. He told everyone. And then Corey was like, bro, why'd you tell everyone? Yeah. The team Young Buck is not as high in Fessy's heart as they thought they were.
Yep. Team Young Buck is not. I don't know that they have a friend there.
No.
And I also think that I don't know that Fessy got any advantage out of going, we know you lied to me. You know what I mean? Like,
none. He did not have to explain himself to Kyle.
And they gave a bunch up to a player who's clearly smarter than him, right?
Clearly. And you know, for his efforts in explaining why he sent Kyle in, he got called a pussy directly to his face.
Repeatedly.
Yeah. Yep.
It'll be interesting to see if that comes back to haunt at any point in time.
Yeah, on either side.
Yeah, and I think kind of the same with Josh. You know what I mean? But it's so hard to tell because everybody seems so all over the place with Josh all the time. You know what I mean?
Because he literally is like a giant toddler. Like you were really on it when you compared my 19-month-old to Josh earlier. Like the guy cannot control his emotion. When he was in the room after the altercation, just huffing and puffing while Casey was like, dude, calm down. That's literally what my 19-month-old does when he can't control his feelings and he's upset about something. He makes like grimace faces and breathes real heavy. He looks like a baby.
Yeah, I mean, you know, all he can do over and over again is tell Devin he's a bitch. And then he's like punching metal siding. Like, it was
dented the siding.
Move.
He dented the siding because someone said Big Brother sucks.
I know. And the thing was, is like, yeah, he said it, but it was such an obvious, like, dumb provocation. Provocation.
He's trolling you. He is in person trolling you. And not to mention, have you watched a season with Devin ever? Because that's literally all he does.
Right.
You have to know better.
And then he's coming in there going, well, you know, you're going to say something. I have to check you because that's what And it's like, no, you don't. You don't have to check him.
At all. There's no reason to check him.
Like, he's winding you up. And he's doing it for a reason. It's not like just because he thinks it's funny, although it is. You know what I mean?
That was a great line, too. Like, CT's just laughing, and someone's like, come on, man. And he's like, what? It's funny.
It's funny. And it is, you know?
It is 100% funny. No question.
But, yeah, but obviously it puts him in a weaker position in the game. You know what I mean?
Clearly, because in those moments...
Someday Josh is going to win one of these seasons, and it's really going to bug the shit out of me.
I don't think he is. He can't control himself. And even his alliance members are like, you can see in their eyes as they realize, like, this is not a guy I want on my team.
But yet they do, right? Like
they do because they love him. But believe me, he'll be first out when it comes down to it. Even if it's all Big Brother people left at the end, it's going to be like, look, we're not sure you can control yourself. You got to go.
It'll be interesting to see. I hope he gets his reckoning for sure, because he definitely is like he's really fun to root against.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Because you don't have that like, oh, you're a terrible person kind of like hate for him. It's just like, you're just such an effing goofball, man.
Right. Like, and so
it's
when
a different kind of vibe.
Yeah, when he does dumb stuff and it clearly is going to lead to disaster for him, it's funny rather than like there's no anger. It's just hilarious.
Yes. Yeah. Nothing about him is like infuriating. There's something that's sort of like, you know, gently comic about the whole thing.
Totally.
Even when he's like throwing drinks at people.
Yeah.
Or, you know,
or punching siding.
You know, he seems to come from a really tight family, and he, you know, he really cares about them. I do sort of wonder about the parenting.
Man.
For this giant man baby. You know what I mean?
He is such
like,
a man
baby. How did we get here?
You know, some people are just emotional. I don't know. It could be the parenting related, but some people are just crazy emotional, and that is certainly his situation.
Yeah. And, you know, it's really interesting when he runs into a player like Devin, who I think if he has a superpower in this game, it's that he's extremely self-aware. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, I mean, that, or he really is as good as anyone has ever been at getting under everyone's skin.
Yes, but he knows that he's doing that the whole time.
Oh, 100%.
You know, like,
yeah.
It's all intentional, you know what I mean? And he's getting into situations where other people are super emotional, and I'm not saying he doesn't get a little bit emotional. Anytime you're yelling at somebody, what's 9 times 8? Like,
yeah,
you're a little wound up.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, he's in full control.
Yes.
That whole time.
Totally,
you know what I
in
mean?
Control. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think that's why I thought when he said I embarrassed myself, he was talking about losing control over the bananas incident. Because, yeah, that's sort of his thing. Is like, he can wind himself up to a level to get other people to that level, but he is in control of himself when they are not.
Yeah. I agree, and I do think that there may have been a little bit of a passing of the torch of this episode. Like, I think that Devin may really fully be becoming the new Wes. You know,
maybe he's a lot less likable to me, but yeah, he's certainly trying to do that.
But I think that Wes had to learn to be likable, and I think that Devin will probably go through this process.
Yeah, that might be true. I did love when he said,
"I'm not saying Wes won't come back." But
yeah.
He's making some noises about taking a few seasons off after this, so we'll see.
Yeah. I will say probably the line of the show was Devin saying, I've always run my challenges on a combination of cold beer and revenge.
Yep. Some of the best quotes of this are pretty accurate. You know
yep.
what I mean?
A strict diet of cold beer and revenge. So I'm gonna mix it up. That was excellent.
Corey just going, well, Devin would be just holding that gold skull, and he's easy to beat. Real matter of fact, I thought was also a pretty solid burn.
It was.
This,
it so. Was, although I'm not sure. We'll see. I mean, he's definitely looks like the weakest male competitor, with the possible exception of Michi remaining, right?
Yeah, although Michi won his wrestling match.
He did.
Week,
he was stronger than anyone expected.
Me. Yeah, so I don't know. Michi may have some stuff up his sleeve. I agree that I don't think you could just throw Devin in an elimination and assume that you're coming back.
Right.
First of all, if you got a puzzle, you probably in some real trouble.
Yeah.
And it's one of these eliminations pretty soon is going to be a puzzle because they've all been pretty physical so far.
Yeah.
Two, I think, you know, like I think he's got a puncher's chance in most physical contests. You know what I mean? So you know, I wouldn't necessarily think, I don't think he's a layup at any point. You might be able to beat him, but I don't think he's a layup.
No, I don't think there are any layups. Not anymore.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know that there are any layups left in this game with the possible exception, like we said, of Michi.
Yeah, we don't totally know, but he
on
really.
On the side, I think there might be some layups still. But on the men's side.
Well, yeah, Gabby's there. We haven't seen much from the Ambers. And, boy, if Liv has a broken arm, that's going to make it easier to beat her.
Yeah, she might have been a layup anyway.
Yeah, it's hard to say. She's pretty big, though.
Yeah. I have to say, I was kind of impressed by Amber in the wrestling match. Like, she showed me a little more than I expected from a woman of her frame. She's
and
not,
she told
not
us,
afraid to mix it up.
No, she told us she played rugby, so, you know.
Yeah, although she did wind up losing, right, if I'm not correct.
I believe so. But yeah. Look, TJ said it after the challenge, and I think it was actually true. Everyone was pretty damn good. Like, no one – even Nani, you mentioned, like, if you're overmatched, just get low. Nani went right to her back and just started kicking. And she ended up losing, but she put up a hell of a fight.
It was a classic Hurricane Nani performance. Yep. And I could have almost predicted. It's like, yeah, you're going to get her off this platform, but you better make sure your foot touches last because you're going to.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Yep. She's fierce.
In that sense, it's sort of an ideal thing for her. And that's the other thing, too, is it's like, you know, maybe you beat her in an elimination, but you're going to just have to physically outlast her because she's going to scrap.
It's going to be painful.
I mean? Yeah. That's 100% sure. It's good for her to remind people of that. Again, I really think this was conceptually just one of the best challenges they've had on the show. They just need to tighten up the safety.
Yep. And look, man. Again, this challenge has just pretty clearly been the best ever through three episodes, right?
Yeah, I'd say so far. It's so. I mean, it's hard, you know, to talk about a show that has damn near 40 seasons and has delivered so many great moments to just be like, yeah, okay, three episodes is the best. But
well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's got a long way to go to be the best overall. But, like, there's been nary a moment of downtime in three episodes, and it has been excellent.
Yeah, 100%. I really, you know, I just think that they've been smart over the years about tweaking the game on every level.
Yep.
Tweaking the casting, tweaking the production, every level of it. You know, TJ stronger than ever.
Yep.
And they made that part bigger than ever. This is one of my favorite houses.
Yeah.
It's an awesome that they've house. Had. You know. Even like the graphics and stuff are as
Everything.
Good as they've been.
And the music. You mentioned this last week. Oh, man, the music was great. There was – during Josh's meltdown, they were playing Whitney Houston's So Emotional.
Yeah. Yeah, we've been talking about 80s.
Yep.
They went a different direction, but it was 100% on point.
Yeah, it was hilarious.
That song is older than Josh, I'm pretty sure, but it
definitely
could be his theme song.
It's 100% older than him, and it is 100% his theme song.
Also Whitney's, really, when you think
about
it.
True story. Well put.
Now, it's not necessarily the first song you associate with her, but really it's probably the song that fits her best.
It's a great song, too, on top of everything.
Yeah. There's somebody who's working on a Whitney movie now, right?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure that's a thing. And if not, it needs to be a thing, right?
Agreed.
Like, that woman led a life, you know?
Boy, did she.
All right. And I don't care if it's a documentary or it's a dramatization. I would watch
wow.
either one.
Just a couple days ago, Whitney Houston biopic finds its star in Naomi Aki.
Yeah, I read this. I knew it. I knew I didn't just sort of conjure that out of thin air.
Yeah. Wow. Clive Davis producing.
All right. Well, there you go. That means they probably got the music rights, too.
Yep.
I don't know that I think. I think that pretty much covers everything that I noticed in this week's show. You got anything else that you want to add?
No, I think we did it. Well, another successful challenge podcast after a tremendous challenge episode.
Yeah, I am. I'm fired up. I wish there was some sort of, like, you know, a little extra, like, Christmas Day.
A Christmas Day special would just – that would really hit the spot. But sadly, we'll have to wait until next week.
All right, fair enough.
Okay, bye.
This game's in the Admiral refrigerator. The door is closed. The light's out. Butter's getting hard, the eggs are cooling, and the Jell-O is jiggling.
So long, everybody.
And do me a favor, have yourself a tremendous evening.